Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Second hour of four on this Football Friday. We're Grant and Danny. Redskins Packers tomorrow night. FedEx Field, your first chance to go out to the Redskins home stadium since the season ended in 2016. Mike Jones covers the Skins for the Washington Post. Mike, is there any chance the starters play the majority of the second quarter close to halftime, or do you think it's closer to one quarter of play tomorrow night?
Jay Gruden said he doesn't really know. He said he's going to go by his feelings tomorrow. I think he really wants to see some success out of these guys, especially on offense. The defense flew around, and, you know, they got off the field back-to-back three and outs with a mixture of starters the second time out. But it's the offense that they really haven't had anything to hang their hat on. They haven't had guys healthy in practice. They're finally starting to get those guys back. They think there's going to be Jamison Crowder. Well, they know he's going to play. They think Josh Doctson probably will play. So I think Gruden is going to say, let's see how we do pitching and catching. Let's see how we do running the ball, because he very much was annoyed and frustrated that they only averaged 2.2 yards a carry running the ball, and he wants that to be better. He wants them to play with more physicality. So if they're struggling, I think he keeps them out there for a while longer. And, if they do well, say they have two really good series or maybe three, maybe he'll just keep it to a quarter.
Mike, how important are we underestimating? This is something I've been thinking about kicking around for a bit. I think not having Sean McVay is a bigger deal than everybody's going to kind of realize as the season kind of goes on. But how important is Jay getting himself in the rhythm of managing the game correctly, something he hasn't done really yet in terms of clock management, timeouts, challenges, everything else, and calling the plays again? How important is this time for him as well to go through first unit stuff?
He kind of laughed and said, you guys are way more worried about this than I am. I'm fine. He hasn't looked like he's struggled in practice as he's calling plays. As they do their 2-minute drill and things like that, we'll see, in the heat of a game, how it does. But, he feels good about it. The communication between he and Kirk have been fine. They haven't had any hitches. So I don't know if it's just like riding a bike, but it's not like he was Joe Gibbs, who was out of it for a long time. You know, it was 3 years that he didn't call plays. Well, I guess 2.5 really. And now he's back at it. So I know that he has worked at it in practices. Sometimes he's calling plays without the script, just so that way he's in the habit of moving quickly and going on the fly if you have to make adjustments. And it's not a real game, but in practice it looks like there hasn't been a whole lot of trouble, especially when they go with the 2-minute drill, when he's having to go really quickly in the headset of Kirk Cousins.
At Mike Jones WAPO on Twitter, differences between Gruden the play caller and McVay designing the plays. Running game, I mean, are they going to commit to the run more? Jay didn't do that much in Cincinnati. And then passing game, Sean and Kirk have always viewed the passing game similarly from the inside out. That wasn't how Jay did it in Cincinnati, but he had A.J. Green, so I'm not really sure how he would view it in this offense.
Yeah, well, this is still very much very similar with the play calling. I've talked to both Cousins and McCoy to try to get a feel for that, and they said they really don't tell a difference right now. Yeah, you're right. Jay Gruden doesn't run the football a whole lot. He'll say he wants to be more physical, wants to run the ball more, and that always goes out the window. And this offense is built that it is from the inside out, because they have Jordan Reed and you got Jamison Crowder, and those are Kirk Cousins' two favorite wide receivers. Tight end and receiver. That's just where he likes to go with the ball. Obviously, they want to spread it around. They want to work the outsides with Pryor and Doctson and Ryan Grant. But this is pretty much the same philosophy. Jay Gruden and Sean McVay sat down, and they spent a lot of hours game planning together. So it wasn't like Sean was just coming up with this stuff on his own. It was very much both of those guys there. So I don't think that we're going to see a whole lot of difference in this play calling. We'll see. Maybe is Jay a little more aggressive here and there? I don't know. But Hopefully the more we see this, we'll be able to figure it out. But as far as last week goes, the offense and the first team really struggled, but the second and third units, it looked basically like the same offense.
We are Mike Jones guys. You can hear why. I'm at Mike Jones WAPO on Twitter, a must follow for Redskins fans. Jonesy, let's go into the middle linebacker spot. I've just kind of assumed all along that Zach Brown is going to start. It may happen this weekend, but it's still up in the air, apparently. How do you see that inside position shaking out?
Yeah, this week they're going to experiment. Last week it was Will Compton and Zach Brown. This week they're going to experiment with Mason Foster and Zach Brown. And I think that's going to be really interesting because everybody thinks of Will Compton as this really smart guy who's a great signal caller, puts guys in the right position because that's what he does. But you don't really think of Mason Foster as the guy who does that as well because he played the Mo, which wasn't responsible for that. But Mason Foster said, I did this my first 4 years in the league. I was a rookie in Tampa Bay doing this. I'm fine doing it. And it's going to be interesting because if Mason Foster is better against the run than Will Compton is, and Zach Brown is better athletic side to side and covering passes than Mason Foster is, maybe Mason Foster is in his more natural position, and maybe you have a stronger tandem there. It's tough because I really like Will Compton. I think that he does a good job as far as putting guys in the right position, and he does a good job of anticipating and making plays himself, but he's not quite as physical as Mason Foster, shedding blocks and getting after the guys, and he'll be running more downhill, going after the running backs and after quarterbacks, and Zach Brown will be running downfield or across field or covering passes. So this could be a better tandem, but again, it's experimentation. This is where they're going this week, and next week it'll probably be a different tandem as they try to figure out what's the best combination.
Running back spot. Kelly's going to start. P. Ryan's coming off a bad game. Give me a thought on him. And then Matt Jones specifically, is there any way they can trade him for a seventh-round pick at the end of this, or is he just going to get released?
Well, as far as Matt Jones goes, I think that everybody in the league, the running backs are a dime a dozen. This is a guy that a lot of people thought would get drafted late in the draft, and he was a third rounder for the Redskins. So I think that people will feel like, oh, we'll just be patient and let him get cut. But he really needs to go out there and play well so he has something to show for. As far as P. Ryan goes, they really wanted him, obviously, to take care of the football, but run with more explosion, more confidence. And in practice, he has been hitting the holes harder. Looks like he's more sure of himself, kind of just learning how to be consistent in his preparation every single down like it's a game. But he still has a ways to go. Rob Kelly's your guy. They really have trust in him, both as a runner, but also he's better in pass protection as P. Ryan is, because he just didn't have to do that stuff at Oklahoma because Joe Mixon was the guy that was on the field in third downs. And so, obviously, you have Chris Thompson that's your best third down guy, but if something were to happen to him, they'd feel better with Rob Kelly doing that than they would P. Ryan.
Give me the defensive line rotation as you see. It's like tough to decipher at this point, right? I mean, Tom Sula's got those guys rotating all the time. Even the quote-unquote starters played well into the game in week number one of the preseason. How do you see that going maybe this week, Jonesy, and then this year?
A week into training camp, he looked at me and said, we're defensive line. We are not starters. And I was like, well, I mean, like, who are you going out there? He's like, it doesn't matter. And I thought he was just kind of bluffing because he wasn't sure. But seriously, every single day there's a different defensive line combination. It might be Phil Taylor at the nose tackle, Jonathan Allen on the left, Ziggy Hood on the right. Yesterday was Matt Ioannidis, Ziggy Hood in the nose tackle, and Terrell McClain there. Another time was Jonathan Allen. I mean, there has not been a single time that the same three guys have taken reps together in consecutive days. He just rotates these guys in and out almost, every series. And the nickel, we know that Anthony Lanier, lots of time, is a go-to guy there. Sometimes it's Jonathan Allen. Sometimes it'll be Stacy McGee as those two guys. But really, the reason why you can't tell is because even the players say, dude, we have no idea like what the depth chart is. Yeah, we don't really have one. It just kind of whoever he says go get in there, that's who goes and get in there. And, hey, as long as they're fresh and they're impactful, then I guess that what really matters.
Mike Jones, Washington Post. You mentioned Matt Ioannidis. He moved the pocket against Baltimore. I was actually really impressed by him. That's a guy I didn't really think that much of last year. He looked a little bit different to me in that first preseason game.
In training camp last year, he did not look like he belonged. And it was just like, man, why did they draft this guy again? He's worked really hard throughout last season as he was inactive for most of those games and in the off season. And he was routinely really giving Brandon Scherff a run for his money in those one-on-one drills and then, you know, team drills and everything this past training camp. He has really gotten a lot stronger. He's more confident. He knows what he's doing. And this guy is probably going to play a lot. And, you know, you have to feel good for him because, hey, if a guy, you know, has an opportunity, he's capitalizing. And they guess they did know what they were doing in drafting him. He just had to get some experience. But I expect that we're going to see him as an impactful guy and on the field a lot. Sometimes he's in there as an end in the base packages. Sometimes he's in there as an interior guy in the nickel packages, meaning they like the way he also rushes after the quarterback. So that versatility and that increased strength is going to serve him well.
Hey, Jonesy, quick one here. We know the first five guys on that O-line and probably Ty and Secchi too, so there's six. How does the rest of that offensive line depth chart shake out? Is Ari Quanjo in trouble?
Your cousin Chase is looking like he's in good shape there as the center. Ari Quanjao, he's kind of seems like he's slipped down. He's playing a lot of the third. Clay Catalia, I can't pronounce that very well, undrafted rookie, has been taking the second team reps at left guard. Isaiah Williams has slid down. He's with the third team. Another guy that you thought maybe would contend there with Ari Quanjao and Sean Laval. Sean Laval has not let go of that job. He's looked really good in practice, healthier now than what he was coming into last year. So you imagine they take Chase, they take Ty. We'll see if they take another tackle like Vincent and Painter or not, and then we'll see who that other guard is. But right now it looks like Quanjao might be in some trouble.
Answers coming to these questions. Again, tomorrow night against the Packers at FedEx Field, Mike Jones will be on the scene for the Washington Post. Follow him on Twitter. At Mike Jones WAPO. Thank you, buddy. Always terrific.
Thanks, guys. I'll see you.
We'll see you, man.
Much appreciated. Grant and Danny on the Fan. We've done segments before where we make predictions, where we make a declaration.
Yeah.
We're going to debut a new segment next. It's just another way, basically, of declaring something that you think is factual. We're going to call it Put It in Pen.
Put It in Pen.
What about the Redskins are you willing right now to put in pen? But this is not obvious stuff. This is not Terrell Pryor is going to be one of their starting wide receivers. Put that in pen. Cool, man. We get that.
Good job, bro.
Put it in pen. We want you to tell us something that may not be prevailing wisdom or the popular thought as of right now, but that you're going to look smart on several weeks down the line. 800-636-1067. Redskins fans, you're putting it in pen next on Grant and Danny.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.